Turning your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at a passage of scripture that I consider essential to the life of every child of God. Because there's something in this passage that I promise you every child of God would want activated in their life. Remember, whenever you read the book of Acts, these are the record of the Acts of the Apostles. And I heard a preacher stand up and say once, he said, I think if we wrote the book of Acts today, maybe we'd have to write the book of shoulds and oughts, because we just talk about what we should do. No, this is what they did do, and indeed it's what we want to do. The text verse is going to be found in verse 33. Let's read that together. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace. Now, it doesn't just say grace. It says, and great grace was upon them all. The all there is the church that they were with. And God said, great grace is what this church had. How much of God's grace do you have activated in your life? Now, we know you're saved by grace, for by grace are you saved, the Bible says, through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But now that you're saved, how much grace do you have? I love the definition that I learned in Sunday school as a child. The definition said, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's the loving grace of God. It's the power of God. And God said of these Christians, not just that they had grace. This was addressed to believers. It said, great grace was upon them. The Bible just before this says that they did three things to activate this grace. And I want to tell you the story, then we're going to read the three things. They have gone into the temple, and John and Peter have done a healing. And it riled up the authorities. They healed a man. And when they healed him, they said, in whose name did you do this? And Peter stepped forward and said, we did it in the name of Jesus Christ, the one you crucified. The one that you put on a cross and wrongfully slayed. We did it in his name. And then he went on to say, but don't you forget, he is risen from the dead. He is alive. We serve a risen Savior. That's why we sing that song this morning, He Lives. Well, this infuriated the authorities, because this was done in front of all the people. So they took him and put him in prison. And they said, listen, we're going to keep you overnight, but stop it, button it up. And in the morning when they let him out, they said, you bring this up once more, it will not be good. We're commanding you, do not bring up his name. Now remember, these are the people who have the right to incarcerate you. They have the right to whip you. They have the right to kill you. But immediately when the apostles were let loose, they went back to the church. And the Bible then says they did three very specific things. Let's read the three things they did, starting at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Now what they did, starting at verse 24, is the first key to great grace. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined, therefore to be done. The first thing that these people did was they started praising God. They said, not one thing has happened here that you're not 100% in control of, Lord. They said, O Lord God, and that word God there was the word that was used for the all-powerful God. And note what they said at the very end. They didn't do whatsoever except thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Here they are in the midst of this great challenge, the midst of this great difficulty, this incredible danger. And immediately when they got back to the church, they started praising God. Now, if it had been me, I'm afraid I'd have gone back to the church and said, Lord, please make this go away. How many of you would have prayed that prayer with me? Make this be gone. But they didn't do that. They praised God. Can I ask you a very simple question this morning? How's the praise factor in your life? There is no such thing as a good Christian with a poor praise life. There is no such thing as an admirable Christian with a poor praise life. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise is not just do something that you do when you feel like it. Praise is a command of God. And we're commanded to be a people of praise. When the song leader stands up here and led us in these wonderful hymns and songs of praise, do you understand? That's not done just to fill time in the service. That's done because it's commanded by God that we praise him. I wonder if you could say, oh, this morning when we sang, I sang with all my heart. I'm telling you, I praised God. I praised God with everything I have. Brother Mutchler, some ministers came over from England, and they were meeting with us, and they had some legal troubles. And they had traveled around the United States, and they said, can we tell you something we've noticed about your churches? I said, sure, what have you noticed? They said, most of your people sing like they don't like it. When you listen to them, they're singing as if it's a nuisance. Do they not understand they're singing to God? Do you understand, this morning, we didn't sing for the benefit of each other. If it was for each other, it would be a blessing if many didn't sing. But you sing to the Lord. My law partner, Charlie Craze, we were together 25 years, he would sing so loud, and Charlie had a major problem. He would sing a perfect half note off, a perfect half note off. You couldn't do it if you tried. And he would sing so loud when we were singing hymns and stuff that he'd get a whole part of the church singing a half note off. And a dozen times or more, I saw the song leader stop and say to the pianist, let's go to the key he's in. And you know what happened? The minute they did that, he went another half note off. And I would say, Charlie, you're messing it all up. You're messing it up. He said, I know. But I love to praise him. Amen. Would anybody around you say, boy, that man loves to praise God. That woman loves to praise God. Listen to her. Have your kids heard you praise God? Have your grandchildren heard you praise the Lord? Oh, I'm thankful for the praise we do at church. But this isn't the only place you want to praise God. If you want great grace in your life, it starts with great praise. These people didn't ask for God to take their problem away. They started praising God, and they said, not one thing's going to touch us that you're not 100% in control of. Now, I don't know what your praise life was like last week, but can I beg you, fix it this week? When's the last time the Bible says you made melody in your heart unto the Lord? Oh, listen, God didn't give us music just for entertainment. He created music so that we could praise him. You say, but Brother Gibbs, I don't sing well. Well, I've got good news for you. Nowhere in the Bible are you commanded to praise him well. You're commanded to praise him faithfully. The first key, if you want great grace, is you've got to be a person of praise. By the way, people come up to me and say, well, I praise, but it just doesn't show. You can't hide praise. Praise always, always shows. You can't hide it. Look at the second thing that happened. The first thing they did was to praise the Lord. Then in verse 29, immediately comes the second thing. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word. The first thing that they did was they seriously praised God. The second thing they did was they got bold in their witness. How bold is your witness? I hope this is not you. But nationwide, you know what we're finding? Less than 6% of the people in fundamental Bible-believing churches ever witness. 94% of the people don't witness at all. And only 4% of the people have ever personally tried to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Personally. What happened? I get to interview young lawyers, wonderful Christians who want to come join our ministry. And one of my first questions is, tell me about your soul winning. How many people have you led to the Lord in the last year? And I have yet to have one. They say, well, I go to a great church. Praise God for that. But you're commanded to be a witness. You're commanded by God to reach out. Can I tell you something startling? The fastest growing faith in America is Muslim. For every one person we're winning to Christ, they're winning 13, and by some counts, 14 people to their faith. How can that be? Oh, it's real simple. All the perverse groups have come out of the closet, and God's people have gone into the closet. What would it take for you to be the one who says, by the grace of God, I'm going to witness? A black pastor friend of mine was traveling with me, and he said, David, I'll get our seat assignments on the airplane. I said, that'd be great. And I arrived there, and he said, I got our boarding passes and everything. I said, wonderful. He said, we got the last row. I asked for the last row. And I said, preacher, we don't want to sit in the last row. I said, on this airplane, the engines are in the back. Our molars will be buzzing for a week. I said, we don't want to sit in the back. He said, no, we're going to sit in the last row, and we're going to get on the airplane last. And I said, no, 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 all the bin space will be gone. We don't want to do this. You're doing this all wrong. He said, no, we're going to sit in the last row and we're going to get on last for Jesus. And I thought, what has Jesus got to do with the last row? And I'm sitting here thinking, this is ridiculous. Well, finally they boarded everybody, got them all on. And the gate agent said, come on, guys, you're last. Get on, get on. I couldn't believe what he did. He hands me his briefcase. And then he unbuttons his shirt And he pulls his shirt back, and on his T-shirt he has printed, "I can tell you how to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell." It's on his T-shirt. And I'm looking at it, and we walked up by the gate agent, and the gate agent looked at it. She said, "Can I take a picture of that?" He said, "Sure," and she took her phone, got a picture. And she turned to me, and she said, "You with him?" And I said, "Well, yeah, kind of." We walked down, got on the airplane. The minute the flight attendants saw it, they said, "Wow." Now we're going down the aisle of the airplane, and he's going like this. People are standing up and taking pictures everywhere. And he's just showing them what's on his T-shirt. Finally, we get all the way to the back, and we sit down. He buttons up, and a flight attendant walks up to us, and she said, "Do not get off this plane without talking to me." She said, "God sent you to talk to me. Do you hear me? Don't you dare leave." I thought, wow, sweet Alabama, listen to that. He said, "Pray." He said, "The Lord's working." Man, we took off. Finally, they undid the seatbelt sign. The minute they let it go, seven people came back. Seven people walked up to him and said, "Can I talk to you?" Whoa. Well, you say, "Brother Gibbs, that's not my way." No, that's not my way either. You know, while he was doing that, I was thinking, with as much territory as I have, I could do the whole Romans Road. You know what I mean? I could do the whole thing. But can I tell you what's happened? Our way has become no way. Oh, we don't want to do it that way. But our way has become we don't have a way. What is it that would cause you to get bold in witness? Do you realize the reason we're here, and boy, your pastor so eloquently spoke it, is so that we can give witness to a risen Savior. You've never had better tracks. We've never had better training on how to witness for Christ. But the tracks and the training do nothing if somebody doesn't say, "By the grace of God, I want to be a witness. I want to do something." Please hear me. The fact you sit here and mean to doesn't mean you're gonna. You see, you have to make a decision that by God's grace, this day is not going by that I don't witness to somebody, that I don't give somebody some gospel tracts. You want great grace for your family, for your life, for your home, for your work? Well, the first thing you got to do is have great praise. And then you got to be bold. Bold. Look at the third and final thing, and we'll be done this morning. Verse 31, "And when they had prayed," the first thing they did was praise God. The second thing they did was get bold. Very bold. Great boldness, the Bible says. All boldness. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of the Lord with boldness." Now remember, these are saved people. And Acts 2 has already taken place. They've all had the Holy Spirit. But now they got filled. Great grace was upon them. How's your prayer life? I hope this is not you. The average Christian in our churches, when they do the polls, say that counting mealtime prayers and everything, it's about 6 minutes a day of prayer. I promise you, on 6 minutes of prayer a day, you're spiritually starving yourself to death. God says, I've asked you, what do you want? I've promised you, ask and you shall receive. When we get to heaven, I know the Lord's going to turn to me and he's going to say, David, you asked for so little. Why? Why? Did you not understand? You have not because you ask not. What kept you from asking? Can I give you a simple benchmark? If you're watching Fox News more than you're praying, your prayer life's in real trouble. If you're on your cell phone more than you're praying, you're saying that cell phone matters more than the fact that you have power with the Almighty. What would it take for you to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to pray? My granddaughter came in. And she said, Papa, Papa, that's what they call me. I said, what, honey? She said, I know you have a prayer list just for me, don't you? I said, I do. She said, well, would you put this on it? I said, you bet I will. Do each of your grandkids, do each of your children know that prayer is so critical in your life as a child of God that you have special asks just for them? How about your mate? I have a list of 42 things I pray for my bride every day. Now, I promise you, there's nothing on that list peculiar to us. There's nothing on that list that you wouldn't want. If you'd read that list for your mate, you'd say, I want that, I want that, I want that. You'd say, I want that 42 times. There's only one problem. You're not asking. I know you love your mate. But meaning to pray is not the same as praying. What would it take for you to get great grace? By praise, by boldness, by prayer. God's no respecter of persons. What he did for these people, he will do for you. Next week is yours. Last week is gone. And if God gives you the gift of life and he tarries his coming, by the grace of God, you can have great grace in your life. But it's going to take great praise, it's going to take boldness, and you're going to have to pray. When we get to heaven, I want to talk to the people in this church. And I want to ask them, wow, weren't you guys terrified that the authorities would jail you and beat you and crucify you? They were crucifying Christians. They said, no, all of that paled when you have great grace. You got to praise. You got to be bold in your witness. And by the grace of God, you need to pray. This morning, church, don't leave here without great grace activated.